Reports of attacks on tankers in the Middle East roil oil markets today. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The price of crude oil spiked upward today after so far unconfirmed reports of a series of explosions on or near two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. Crude oil traded in Europe is up 3.4%. The price is up 3% in New York trading, $52.67 a barrel at the moment. The U.S. Navy is reportedly assisting, this after saboteurs attacked four tankers last month off the coast of the United Arab Emirates. The BBC's Alan Johnston covers the Middle East.
The two vessels reportedly hit sent out SOS signals and their crews were evacuated. Who might have carried out these attacks and how is not yet clear. But this has happened in shipping lanes that carry a significant amount of the world's oil supplies and at a time of high tension in the region. The US recently tightened its sanctions on Iran and reinforced its military in the Gulf. After four tankers in the area were damaged in sabotage operations last month, the Americans blamed Iran. And they'll suspect that the Iranians are also behind these latest attacks.
Iran denied involvement in those. Let us do the numbers. The FTSE index in London, the key stock index there, is up 0.2%. The DAX in Germany up 0.5% after dropping sharply the day before. Hong Kong's Hang Seng index fell just slightly overnight amid the protests there. Japan's Nikkei fell 0.5%. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. In the case of the Dow and the S&P futures, up 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury yield down at 2.12%. Now, more ways for you to live like a Roman emperor with anything you need at your beck and call. The other day, we reported on Walmart's coming system where people deliver groceries all the way to the inside of your refrigerator using smart locks on your door and live streaming body cams. Now there's where Target is expanding same-day shipping service to better compete with Walmart and Amazon, and Uber Eats is testing meal delivery via airborne drone in San Diego. The U.S. federal deficit has grown 39% in the first 8 months of this budget year. Yes, during an economic boom. The latest monthly report from the Treasury Department says the U.S. spent almost $740 billion more money than it took in from October to May. Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports.
Good economic times typically mean shrinking deficits. Benefit payments like unemployment go down. People make more money, so the government gets more in taxes. Not this time.
It's not just unusual, it's unprecedented.
Mark Goldwine at the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, a nonpartisan think tank.
Only really 1 year in our history during Vietnam has the United States ever had growing deficits like this at the same time that the economy was also growing at its potential.
Tax cuts in 2017 mean government revenue hasn't kept pace with economic growth, while Social Security, Medicare, and defense spending have all gone up. George Washington University's Joanne Weiner worked at the Treasury Department in the 90s. She thinks there's been a philosophical change.
Overall, the theme was, let's not just spend much more than we bring in. That concept is now completely gone.
There is one policy change that is bringing in more revenue. Trade tariffs from imports generated $45 billion. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Now, when BB&T of Charlotte and SunTrust of Atlanta announced their big merger this spring, they said they would rename the resulting bank, but at the time they had not come up with a name. So I asked Marketplace listeners to suggest something. We got some great suggestions from you, but I'd say the winner was, check this out, BB and the Sunshine Bank. Well, they've chosen to ignore this fine suggestion. There's news now that BB&T plus SunTrust, this regional heavyweight with $450 billion in assets, will be named Truist, as in the superlative of true. Now we just have to work on the new logo, yet to be revealed. In our recent series, Brains and Losses, we explored aging and vulnerability to financial scams and what you and your loved ones can do about it. This is the kind of important, in-depth reporting that matters to you and to all of us at Marketplace. Your donations are what keeps it going. Please give today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
My grandpa Tony from near Naples took a lot of things seriously, including pizza. He'd mainly make it himself in a rectangular pan, or there was this one place in New York's Coney Island that was up to his standards. Still there, Totone's Pizza Napolitan. Well, my grandfather's high standards for pizza were imported, John Lorenzen reports from Naples.
Gennaro Luciano making the same kind of pizza that was made right here in the Pizzeria Portalba in 1738.
Slapping it around. A bit more air into the dough.
They didn't use tomatoes back then. The first pizzas were topped with oil, cheese, basil and lard. Now toppings can also include capers and lemon zest.
White lard flopping down. You never knew you wanted it.
La nostra base è l'acqua.
We use more water and less yeast, so our pizzas are moist. We leave the dough to rise for 24 hours and cook it quickly in a very hot wood-fired oven.
Non inclinare! Tengo pomodoro, libro!
At Pizza Consulting up on a hill above Naples, pizza professor Enzo Coccia is giving a class on pizza shovel technique.
Vai, gira, tienila tutta sulla pala.
Michele Leone has come here from the Netherlands. He hopes to open a pizzeria back home and is paying $3,200 for a month-long course.
We came across this school and there it's like the traditional oven, the real traditional pizza, and we're like, okay, if we learn to make pizza, we want to learn the traditional way to make pizza, so that's why we came here.
There are now four pizza schools in Naples and countless cooking courses that start at $90 for an hour-long class. I asked Coccia if he doesn't think the world has figured out how to make proper pizza by now. It's no.
Praticamente ho visto fare l'impasto.
I don't see pizza when I travel. I see mistakes. And I've come across some truly horrible things. People who cook pizza with coal or abandon it in the oven for I don't know how long. Or cook it on the barbecue.
And if you want to try pizza made the old-fashioned Neapolitan way, it'll only set you back about $10. In Naples, Italy, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
I don't know. I've done the barbecue thing. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.